Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, hour number two, which means we're an hour closer to the draft. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network, coming to you live from our usual perch here inside the Quicken Loans studio. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. So I'll tell you, that Carson Palmer interview was really good.
Yeah, I wish we had like 20 more minutes to talk to him because he's deep, man.
He goes.
I know.
But he's not quite Bill Walton.
No, but he does. But he's deep. Like he gives you good information.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess quarterbacks are always that way, though, because they have to process, at least if you're going to be around for 15 years, you got to process a lot of information.
Yeah.
So you can disseminate a lot of information too.
But the stuff about Hugh with the, you know, the swing passes planning, and the play action and getting everything on in sync there, that's pretty incredible.
It is. You know, it's probably one of the issues though with Hugh taking on the head coaching responsibility.
Can't do that as much.
You can't. Well, you can. You try to, but you get overwhelmed.
Yep.
It's really hard to be a play caller and a head coach at the same time. Certain guys have done it. Sean Payton did it and still doing it pretty well. But it's really hard, BT.
I hear you, man. Nobody said it's easy. That's why they get paid a lot of money.
True.
You know? By the way, whether it was Sam Darnold on, what do we have, Sammy on Monday? I guess it was Monday. Josh Rosen, Derwin James from Florida State, who we really enjoyed. Bradley Chubb as well. Mm-hmm. Missed anything, Tiki and Tierney. Download the episodes of the Tiki and Tierney Show on the radio.com app. Pretty simple stuff. Radio.com, Apple Podcast, or your favorite podcast app. Tomorrow, we've got Dak Prescott, and that'll be really good. Get a chance to get his reaction to what Dallas does in the first round tonight. Also, get his thoughts on what he thinks they should do as we get a little deeper into the drafts, of course, rounds 2 through 7. All right, let's get to some hoops here. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, so I want to say, as great, and I mean, he's I'm running out of platitudes for LeBron James.
Yeah, you can't find him.
He's amazing.
You're right.
But here's why, and listen, I did think that they would win last night.
I didn't.
I got
they
you.
Shouldn't have.
But I don't say it for that reason. I say it to this. I'm going to almost contradict myself here. I did think they would win, and they did. They won by 3 points.
Sabonis blew it. 2 turnovers down the stretch and a missed layup at the rim.
Also hit that little baby jumper with about 9 feet to tie it up at 95.
But he had to do that one because he missed the layup literally at the rim.
He had to make up. He had to make up for lost exactly. time. I hear you. But the Pacers, think about it through this, or think of it this way. They lost by 3 points. Mm-hmm. On a call that was absolutely goaltending.
No doubt about it.
It's not even really up for interpretation. Just go to the rule book. It's an it's a no-brainer.
Ball hits glass. You can't touch it.
Correct.
Period.
And a call on the other end before that are you convinced that went off on the right? They got that right?
No.
Because I'm not.
No. The one where LeBron dropped it out. It looked like he dribbled it off his foot.
Yes.
But it didn't. He just got knocked out of his hands, hit the baseline, and he smartly didn't touch it.
Well, I'm not so sure I agree with that interpretation. I thought they should have reviewed that.
Of course they should have reviewed
it. Thaddeus Young was in the vicinity.
Yes. Thaddeus Young is the one who knocked it out of LeBron's hand. Now, LeBron smartly looked at it.
Yeah.
And as it was going to the ground, he saw it hit the baseline.
Yeah.
And then so he just didn't touch it.
No, I know.
And then but the spin on the ball, because the way that Thaddeus hit it, it spun back at LeBron and then hit his elbow and went out of bounds.
But why would they not review that?
No idea.
Regardless of what side you're on in the interpretation of how it went down.
Because I think
it's a tie game.
I think because both refs assumed that it was the correct call.
Oh my
and
God!
So
okay,
there was no. They don't review unless there's opposing call.
I understand that.
But I hear you.
I mean, it was close enough where you just spit it back 10 seconds, and let's get on with our night. But here's why: as great as we've seen some highlights here on the tube, as great as LeBron was, right? They win by 3 points, and Victor Oladipo shot 2 for 15.
It was terrible,
and they barely won the game.
Terrible.
What happens when they play a better team?
Yeah, I know.
If they even get past this round, then they probably will.
Which is
why
I didn't think they would get past this round. At the end of the day, the Pacers were wrong to have Victor Oladipo have the ball in his hands in an ISO situation against LeBron James.
I disagree.
Why?
His quickness got him. He got to the lane. He got by him.
He's giving up.
He got by him, though.
But he's 4 inches shorter than him.
He turned the corner quick, Teak.
Agreed. And LeBron doesn't play defense like he usually plays defense anymore, like staying in front of the guy, the offensive player. But LeBron is LeBron. LeBron can come chase you down, as we saw. We've seen it many times before. It was a mismatch. And for a guy who is really good but young in the postseason and doesn't know how to do those type of things, like score at the rim when you're contested, if it was Kyrie, right? If Victor Oladipo was Kyrie, I'm saying do that all day. Even though he's giving up 6 inches, do it all day. Because Kyrie will know that LeBron's coming to block it from behind.
Let me ask you a question.
Chase it down. He's going to kiss it way off the top of the rim.
Are you saying this that they made the call that they should have made? Of course you're not going to say this if they would have called goaltending.
No,
said, what a move by Oladipo who got to the rim and got by LeBron James. That's what you would have said.
It was a goaltend by – it's the reason they didn't call it, because it was a goaltend by a half an inch and a quarter of a second.
But so what?
I'm just telling you. It was a great play by LeBron. Right, it was an illegal play, but it was a great play by LeBron.
I don't think it was a great play. If he committed a goaltending infraction.
If I was the Pacers, I'm giving myself an option. Like, I need a guy who can cross LeBron up, take step back.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever the defender is, not LeBron, because you don't want LeBron, you know, the defender in this situation. I want somebody who can take it to the hole like Oladipo did.
They don't have anybody else like that.
Sabonis can. You know,
he can't put it on the floor like that.
So not bonus? Against LeBron.
Oh, okay.
But against whoever who's defending him.
Listen, this is where you and I fundamentally disagree. There are certain players, and Oladipo has climbed that ladder with Indiana. I don't care if you're 3 for 30.
I don't know,
you're
man.
You're taking that shot. I'm not letting a young kid Sabonis.
The majority of this game, Victor Oladipo would pull up and shoot.
He was atrocious.
I was like, off.
2 for 15.
Off.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell as soon as he started to shoot, he had no confidence in his shot.
Yeah, no, but he made a late jump shot.
He did, but that's a young man in a situation that he has never been in.
I think you're overthinking it. I think the whole team is young.
I know, but Victor Oladipo is not the guy to take that shot right there.
Well, let me play this and tell me. I don't think you're going to change your mind, but maybe this will. Listen to Oladipo post-game talking about the play that Tiki and I were just talking about.
I got a step on him. Felt like I even got grabbed on the way to the rim. I tried to shoot a layup. It hit the backboard. Then he blocked it. Replays, I guess you guys can see. I guess it's a tough play at the time for him, but it was a goaltend. I mean, it's hard to even speak on it. It just sucks, honestly. Mm-hmm. It really sucks. That layup is huge. I mean,
huge.
Give him credit where credit is due. The three was big time, definitely huge. But who's to say they even run that play? You don't know what happens. So it's unfortunate. It really sucks that they missed that. But we can't do anything about it now.
They should be up 3-2. I'm
Thanks,
sorry,
young
TK.
Man, by the way. Thank you for that explanation. Sounded great. You know, you explained it beautifully. But at the same time.
He's right.
Of course he's right, BT. But at the same time, he was 2 for 12.
So what?
On the game. I just don't.
It's their best player by far.
I agree. I just don't believe he should have
All right, who are we drawing a play up for? Thaddeus Young?
Sabonis.
I can't draw up a play for Sabonis on the road in a tie game. I can't do that.
Drive with Oladipo.
I wouldn't do it.
Kick it to somebody to shoot. Seriously.
But let me ask you this. How do you know that? And you know that there's the play.
Yes.
And then there's the extension or the subset of the initial play.
Yes.
How do we know that the secondary part of that play wasn't to try to suck LeBron in and then kick for a three? But he just saw the window and he went. We don't know that. Don't know that.
He also doesn't. He has never been in the situation against LeBron.
And he beat him.
Or we think he beat him, or LeBron let
him. Did he goaltend?
Of course he did. But
then he beat him.
Watch LeBron. Tracking him down. LeBron isn't like, oh, man, he beat me. LeBron
got by him.
LeBron is like, I the tigering him.
Got by him.
And saying, all right, young buck, when you go up, you're getting swatted.
And I'm going to have to cheat to make sure you don't score.
No, I don't think he didn't think that.
But that's what he did.
LeBron was stalking him down. You could see it.
Stalking all he wants. He got burned, then he had to commit a goaltend.
But LeBron,
you're not going to convince me. Goaltending.
One of the greatest,
Pacers basket.
That LeBron does as a defender, and he hasn't done it a lot this year, let's face it.
I know.
Is stalking somebody, is chasing someone down and blocking them like that. You see it all the time. And as soon as he got by him, I said, this is getting blocked. I didn't think it was going to be a goaltend, but as soon as he got by him, I said, there's no chance that he's scoring. He's too short.
Count the basket.
He's too short. And
two
by the
points.
Way, Whatever. Pacers. The basket goes in. They're up by two. Tie ball game. Cavaliers call a timeout. Run the same play. They win anyway.
And listen to what LeBron said post game, what he told his teammates in the huddle. Check this out.
Let's give me the ball. Give me the ball. They had a foul to give. So I wanted to go quick so they couldn't give up that foul because we had no more timeouts. So I was able to turn and get to my spot. It's like deja vu from a regular season game we had versus Minnesota where I got a block on the other end and then a game winner. But that team never stops. That team never stops. And it's going to be even tougher on Friday.
Just think about what he has to exert, what he has to put forward just to get past this round.
I know. He basically said they're better than we thought they were. And we're hustling to get this one. This isn't coming easy. But how clutch is LeBron James?
I got a question for you.
He's unbelievable.
I want to make sure I don't, not include the radio audience here. But if you're watching us on TV, mm-hmm. you saw LeBron James jump up on the table.
Yeah.
Is that the crowning moment? Is that his final crowning moment to the Cleveland crowd?
That's interesting.
Because, he hits the shot, boom, yeah. runs, gets on the table, implores his fans, his hometown crew. Mm-hmm. We did it. Did we see that again? In Cleveland.
That's interesting.
I might not. That might be the last image right there as they freeze it. Great job as always, TV. That could be the last. And look at the faces of everybody. He's our guy. He's our king. He's our messiah. He's going to leave you in 2 months. Watch.
In a month, they'll be burning his jersey again.
Yeah, they will. But he got the championship, so maybe not.
True.
And maybe they'll be so enamored with the Browns. They finally made the right pick, and the Indians are good. So they got their championship.
Yeah.
He ended the drought.
Yeah, whatever. He'll sign a 10-day contract at the end of his career.
Another ceremonial one-day deal.
When he's 42.
I can't stand those.
Play 10 games. But he'll do it differently. He'll play 10 games when he's 42.
And a 10-day contract?
And retire as a Cavalier.
Yeah, he'll lead the team at PER during the 10-day contract. Those one-day ceremonial contracts, they're annoying. I think they're corny.
I agree.
I hope I'm not just getting old and a little skepticism. But those are cheesy.
We'll get to this other game a little bit later. But before we went to the end of the show yesterday, BT had something to say about...
I'm going
to
give you one prediction here. Mm-hmm. Westbrook goes for 50 tonight.
What?
Westbrook goes bonkers at home. 50.
Triple-double?
No, I'm going to go a little short on that with the dimes because he's going to shoot a lot. I'm going to go 51 points, 13 rebounds. I'm going to go 7 assists, 5 turnovers. Then he's going to shoot over 50%.
And they win by...
6 or 7. Mm-hmm. Tight game, 4-quarter game. Yeah, going to be fun, but he will be awesome tonight. Boom! That's what you deal with every day on the show.
45-7-15. Right here. BT said 51-7-13. Mm-hmm. Now I ask you, how many shots? I said 50.
Nah.
You said no. It's gonna be like 28. He took 39.
That's a lot of shots.
That's a lot of shots.
Man. I mean, but you know what? We can clown them all we want for being inefficient.
Dude, they were down 25. BT,
take that second half. There's not, with the exception of maybe Jordan and Allen Iverson. At their absolute physical peak powers, I don't think that there's anybody that would be able to do that in the history of the NBA. With that energy, without getting tired, it was 1-on-5.
You're right. They compressed the stats the last 20 minutes of this game. Russell Westbrook had 33 points.
Got some good news, by the way.
Nine rebounds and 2 assists. The last 20 minutes, mm-hmm. 33 points, 9 rebounds.
I was really hoping he got his 50, man. I got back from Tops. I was watching the end of the game. By the way, nobody texts back anymore. Well, D-Cell texted back.
Well, you texted at like 11:30.
Well, that was when the game was going on.
I had an excuse.
Oh, you did. You actually did have a pretty good excuse.
I was face down in the toilet all night.
Now, what did you just say in my ear? What happened?
Yankees walk-off.
By whom?
Gary Sanchez. Oh,
they are really starting. No,
bottom of the ninth.
They're back on.
Three-run home run. Down 3-1.
We were down 3-1. He hits a three-run jack walk-off.
14-9.
I think that's win number 15.
15.
I think
they
just swept the O's. 15-9.
Nice.
Yankees started to just destroy people now. Weather's getting nicer. They're gonna break every record for home runs this year.
There's no doubt about it.
They really are. What are you barking in my ear, Mike? What do I have to do? Oh, we got PK Subban coming up next. Here you go.
When it's time for hockey, it's time for PK.
I got you. PK in the house. We'll talk a little puck, which means he'll talk and we'll listen. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Coming up next, Inbounds, Out of Bounds. Always a fun daily staple. Top of the 5 o'clock Eastern hour, all NFL draft. Teague and I unveil. We didn't do many mocks here. I mean, we mess around, you know, but we're going to do our top 10.
Like 12.
We didn't do many.
Them.
We didn't do any.
We used to do like 12.
We did. We would update it each week, but that's a little bit much. We talk about the updates, but yes, we will actually do a mock coming up at 5 Eastern top 10, including trades. So if there's any trades that you and I envision, we incorporate them, or we can incorporate them into our mock. Teague, everybody knows that we are the authority on hockey. Nobody knows hockey like us, and nobody can just say, you know what? We got to get our buddy PK Subban on the phone. Let's call up the Preds and make sure it happens. Well, we dropped the request, and here we go. Our buddy's back. It's been a little bit, but PK Subban is back here on Teague and Tierney. PK, what's going on, buddy? How you been?
Nothing much. I'm happy to be back. You guys are a big deal, man. So when you throw up the request, you know, I'm sure that very rarely do people decline. So I had to make sure I answered the bell.
Appreciate that, buddy.
Thanks for inflating our egos. Uh-huh. First of all, congratulations on the success from last year. I don't think we talked to you after the season. And also the success from the regular season this year. Is it different for you guys? Last year you go into the postseason as a 5 seed, a lower seed, and you defied expectations and got all the way to the finals. This year, you got the target on your back. Does it feel different for you guys?
Not necessarily, because the league is kind of going through a transition, I think, the past few seasons. You know, and we've seen two teams kind of early, and both great teams, but in Anaheim and L.A. that play sort of that heavier style, that heavy grinding game. Now the game is all about speed and skill, and you know, it's younger. There's a lot of young players in the league now, and most of the best players are young players as well. When we say young, I'm talking, you know, players in their 20s, 21, 22, you know, 23. Some players 19, 18, that young. So it's going through a transition, and you got young players that are coming in that want to make a name for themselves, and you know, you can't take them lightly. So, you know, players coming in the league now are in better shape and understand the game better than they ever have. So, you know, for our hockey club, we've gotten a better in a lot of different areas, but mainly in that experience, you know, getting Nick Bonino, a guy who's won 2 Cups, getting Scott Hartnell, a guy who's been around a long time, has played for Peter Laviolette, you know, in Philly, and has played in Nashville before. And then you talk about the big trades and picking up a guy like Kyle Turris, and any team that you talk to about, you know, depth down the middle, how important that is huge. And since that trade, I think our team has taken another step forward. But we definitely realize that teams are gunning for us. And going into the second round against Winnipeg, you know, they're a team that we look at, you know, just like us. They got the depth, they got the speed, the skill, and the physicality. So it should be a tight series.
Now, you're young and you're fast, as you were just explaining to us, but your goaltender, man, he's getting close to our age, I think. He's 34, 35 years old, but he's timeless. He led the league in shutouts this year, I think, with 8 goals against average, is in the top 10 or so. I mean, this guy is timeless. How's he still doing it so well and so effectively?
Well, you know, and I've had the pleasure of playing in front of, you know, some great goaltenders, you know, and, you know, going way, way back to Yaroslav Halak when I started my career, and he went on that amazing run, and we beat the 2 top-seeded teams in the league in the first 2 rounds as an 8-seeded team. And, you know, he had a game, I think, where he'd made 60-plus saves or something like that. And, you know, transitioning from him to Carey Price, who's won, you know, Vezina MVP in Montreal, and now coming to Nashville. And, you know, this year, I mean, I don't think there's any question that he'll be the Vezina winner. But, you know, if it doesn't happen, I can come back on and talk about that. But, you know, he should be that guy because he deserves it, and he's played that well, and he's performed well. I think that our team as well has been great all year. I think that when we did get rocky and we haven't been playing our best, we didn't stray too far off the path. You know, you got to give a lot of leadership group to our, a lot of credit, excuse me, to our coaching staff and leadership group that have done a good job of kind of keeping us focused all year. And now it's go time. So he's been great for us. He was great in, you know, in a big, big game for us in Game 6 in the first round where he got a shutout. And he's the backbone of this hockey club and this organization, and he has been for a long time.
No doubt. Talking to PK Subban with us here, National Preds. Nashville Preds, of course, outstanding defenseman. He's with us here on Teague and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. So I got to get to the bottom of something here, PK, because if I was on the Vegas Golden Knights, I think I'd be released in a week because I don't even think I'd make it to the rink. I mean, can you explain now? You played them, I believe you guys played each other 3 times, but only once in Vegas, and we all know your brother's a backup on the team. What is the dynamic when you guys roll into the city? Honestly, just give us the real scoop here. What are the guys doing? Not just your team, but, you know, you get into McCarran. Was it McCarran Airport, I think it is? Or were you guys private? You guys take the private jets. What in the world is a little Vegas stint like for the NHL players? What do you guys do?
Well, you know, firstly, I'll say with all the lockouts that we've had in the NHL, and, you know, there's been so much talk around the NHL and the growth of the league. And, you know, we hear so much of people that always like to give it to Gary Bettman and the league and in terms of that regard. But, I mean, very few people like to give credit to the league and to people like Gary that make decisions on expansion. And, I mean, who's going to argue the decision to put a team in Vegas now? I mean, it's a genius move, really, when you think about it. And I remember playing in Vegas, and after the game, even though we had lost, it was a tight game, I remember saying, that could have been the best atmosphere I've probably played in my career during the regular season.
Are you serious?
It was that cool.
Wow.
Yeah, it was that amazing. The energy. You know, and really you shouldn't expect anything less because it is Las Vegas. They know how to put on a show.
Yeah.
But it was just, it was unbelievable. They've really, taken hold of that team and taken pride in having a professional sports team there. And, I'm just excited. I'm happy that hockey got there first before anybody else. Mm-hmm. And, I think that team's going to be there for a very, 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 very long time. And I think that any team that comes in after it, I think that's secondary. I think the fan base there, people are going to be drawn to the Vegas Knights and look at how well they've done this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, obviously we're confident with our group, but they're one of the teams that's contending for a cup and a legitimate contender. So, you know, anything can happen, but it's been great. And it is fun going to Vegas, obviously. My brother's there, but it's been special. It's been special around that team.
Yeah, but when you talk about the energy, see, that's interesting because there's two different types of energy. And, of course, that's the great P.K. Subban with us here on Tiki and Tierney from the Preds getting ready for their second-round matchup. They got Winnipeg coming up. They just bounced Colorado. The energy, there's the spectacle aspect, like, you know, before the puck drops, the lights and the showgirls and the dancing. But then there's, you know, the intellect of the fans that you get in Boston and for the Rangers and in Montreal and all the great hockey. Most of them are great hockey cities. And Nashville is one of them as well. But do the fans, because I thought they'd be a lot of transient fans, like people coming in for work or for business functions. Hey, all right, I got some tickets. I'll go watch. But they actually know the flow of the game, and they sound like educated hockey fans, you're telling me?
Well, listen to me. I've only played in that arena once.
Yep.
But everything tells me that it's a consistent fan base, and I don't know much about Vegas other than the Strip, because whenever I go,
you don't
there,
need to know anything else.
Well, it's about the awards, right? So yeah. I've been to the NHL awards a couple times. That's the only time I've really had a chance to go to Vegas. I mean, I think I went there once only on vacation, like in my lifetime. So I haven't spent a ton of time there. Mm-hmm. But from what I know, there's a lot of people that live in Vegas that don't live on the Strip. So that was news to me. I was like, I didn't really know that. But their fan base is strong.
Nice.
Like, it's very strong.
Okay.
Very, very strong. It's been great.
And as your brother can attest to, because you've only played each other one time, there's not a lot of Caribbean Canadians, and that is people of color in the National Hockey League, but there's two of them from the same family. You played against your brother, and you lost. I mean, 4-3.
Oh, no, he was,
you had one shot. You knocked it away. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, PK, weak.
One shot. Well, I got to tell you, their team, listen to me, it was like a playoff game. Like, there were guys that were putting their faces, like, they were not going to let me see that net. So, you know, and you know what? That really is the story of their team. Like, I've just been watching from afar, and because of my brother plays on the team, I pay a little closer attention. And, you know, I love the coach there. Gerard Gallant was my assistant coach in Montreal. He's the head coach there now, and he's done a phenomenal job. And whenever I see him behind a bench, I always want to see him do well, except for us. And I'm not surprised that the players play for him the way that they do because he's that great. But, you know, I look at their team, and I'm not taking anything away from their team, but when they put that team together, nobody was looking at that team and saying, oh, they got a bunch of superstars. No, you know, I think that that's why they're in the position that they're in. They just come and outwork teams. Yeah. They outwork teams. And for a fan base, you talk about fan base, it's easy for a fan base to be drawn to a team that has guys that just come up to work every night.
Yep.
And, you know, even when they lose, a lot of times they outwork teams. And I think that that's the type of team they are. They hold each other accountable. Everyone gets treated the same. And, you know, sometimes in professional sports, you know, when you have star players, sometimes guys expect star treatment. I don't think that's the case there, and that's why their team has done so well. But that game, Malcolm was unbelievable. You know, he was lights out, like lights out. I think he had made almost 60 saves or 50-something saves in the game. Yeah, he was lights out. We didn't get one past him in the shootout, so he was dialed in. He may have even thrown a wink at me at one point. I said,
insult the injury, man. Insult to injury.
Is that Patrick Juan? And I said, no, that's my brother. I don't know why he's winking at me.
Wow.
Hey, like, PK, we congratulate you on the regular season. You guys won the President's Cup, the best record in the NHL.
Yeah.
And you get through your first round, as BT mentioned, but then hockey does something odd.
I hate this.
You reseed. And so now you guys are taking on Winnipeg Jets, as we've mentioned a couple of times, but they're the number two team in the NHL. Is this fair? And what do you guys think about the reseeding in the postseason?
You know what? I think as well that, like, when I look at it, you know, the league has changed. I never like to get involved in that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I just like to keep my mouth shut with the league because I just want to show up and play. And the reality of it is that it doesn't matter if you have to go through the second seed. Does it matter if you lose in the second or third round? No, you want to win the cup.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter when you lose. When you lose, it's just you lost. So it doesn't matter. You want to win the cup. You know, obviously, I think that teams would much rather it be that, hey, listen, you play the best team, you know, that makes it through to the finals, or you should play. If you're the top seeded team, you should always play the lowest seeded team next. But the reality is, in some cases, teams don't like that, because even though a team might have finished lower in the standings, you don't match up well against them.
Yeah.
And you'd much prefer to play someone else. So, you know, teams, I find that people only complain when it doesn't work in their best interest. You know, are they going to change the format? I've heard whisperings of people talking about it more and more, so I'll have to wait and see. But, you know, listen, I'm not going to get too much involved in that. The way I look at it is you got to beat the best teams anyway along the line. You're going to have to beat them at some point. And does it matter if it's in the first, second, third, or fourth round? It doesn't.
Yep.
You know, you got to beat them at some point. And that's the way we're going to look at it.
Yep.
You know, we're a confident group. We just got to go out and get the job done. And, you know, that's what we're looking to do here in round two.
Yeah, best way to look at it. Now, we know you won the 2012-2013 Norris Trophy. You are a finalist again, so congratulations, PK. And appreciate you joining us, man, giving us the insight on what's going on in the NHL.
All right, thanks, guys. Hopefully the next time I talk to you guys, I'll have to get your addresses to send you an invite to the cup party.
So definitely. Definitely.
Let's keep our fingers crossed. All right, boys?
We're in, brother. You send the invite, we're cashing that in. We're coming. Thanks, PK.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, buddy. Five-time All-Stars. Tiki just said Norris Trophy a couple of years back. Game one is on Friday. Game two is Sunday. They host Winnipeg. Good stuff. CBS Sports, he's really a great guy.
He's awesome.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Inbounds, out of bounds. Next, a little late, but here's Axe Update coming at you right now. Rich.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio. Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now.
Okay, TK, here we go, buddy. NFL Draft Round 1 is tonight. Little prime time for you. LSU running back Darius Geis expected to be late in the first round, maybe early second, but that's the window in which he's positioned for the draft. However, Geis told the radio station after the combine that a team, remember this, that a team asked if he liked men.
Yeah.
The league launched an investigation, and Geis reportedly then told teams that nobody actually asked him the question.
Wow, come on.
Oh, God. Yesterday, there's so much nonsense with this stuff. Yesterday, the league said there's no evidence that any team asked Geis such a question, And some believe Geis will slip in the draft because teams are questioning his character. Inbounds, out of bounds. Geis will drop in the draft because of the situation.
I'm saying inbounds, but I don't know if it's specifically about this situation. But the character issue is something that has been haunting him for a while. Remember, he was suspended for a few games.
Yep.
Or he sat out with an ankle injury. I'm putting that in quotes, for a few games this season. A lot of people speculated that it was because of a vehicle he was standing in front of with his mother that he put on Instagram and immediately took off.
Mm-hmm.
Sony Michel. Ronald Jones the second, Nick Chubb, Kerryon Johnson.
I like Geis better than Chubb.
I do too.
Okay.
But I'm just saying.
Gotcha.
There's options.
Yeah, yeah.
So if there's an issue with a running back, you will fall.
All things considered equal, obviously character comes into play. This is really strange. I would just like to know. My answer is out of bounds. I actually think that, you know, he's a difference maker. Man, I really like this kid. Mm-hmm. And if it's a fall that won't be precipitous enough where we can identify it.
True.
Where it won't be like 20 slots.
True.
We're like, wow, what
True.
The
it's
hell
not
happened?
He's going to be in the seventh round.
Exactly.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's late first, early second, maybe even a little, maybe in the early 20s rather than the late 20s. We'll see. But I would like to know, what does this investigation entail? So, like, we hear that the NFL launches this thorough investigation to find
a
out.
Great question.
Excuse me, did you ask Darius Geis if he's gay? No, we didn't ask him that question. Okay, call the Browns, see if they ask him. I mean, what do you even ask with this investigation?
I have no idea.
This is so stupid. Out of bounds, though.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, take former Cowboys wideout Dez Bryant reportedly turned out a multi-year, maybe not the smartest business move there, Dez, just saying.
I told you.
Mm-hmm. A multi-year deal from the Ravens and reportedly looking for a big one-year deal so he can prove himself that he can still go get it and be a top-level long-term option. So he's still just 29 years of age, even though he feels a bit older. I think we both agree on that. Hasn't caught more than 70 passes or eclipsed 900 yards in a season since his big 2014 campaign. Wow. Led the league in drops a year ago as well. Inbounds or out, Dez Bryant can still be a number one receiver.
No, out of bounds. Dez Bryant is a secondary receiver at this point in his career. Now, that doesn't mean he can't be very productive and great for a team, but he's not going to get number one receiver money any longer. He's looking for a one-year deal, probably like 14 or 15 million, just to prove himself. That'd be like, hey, Dez, we want to franchise you after you just got cut.
Yep.
Why does that make any sense? Out of bounds.
Okay, I'm going to say out of bounds as well. I could have said inbounds because here's the thing. When the question, when it's kind of open-ended, Dez Bryant can still be a number one NFL receiver, he could be the number one on a bad team.
Yeah, good point.
Doesn't mean that he's a legitimate number one. But I answer it in the context of, is he a legitimate number one?
Yeah.
No, and we could just rifle through 10, 12, 15 names without even really thinking that are just simply much better and probably more of that. It's out of bounds. If he's willing to kind of reassess who he is, I haven't said this to Tiki last week last week. Can he put on, 10, 12, 13, 15 pounds, play a little hyper tight end? I don't know. Maybe. Red zone threat, slot stuff.
Stay in your career.
We'll see if he would do it, but my answer is out of bounds as well.
Are you in or are you out?
I love this question. This is a good one here, Mike. So Heat guard Dwayne Wade just wrapped up his 15th NBA season, said he's undecided if he's going to come back for number 16. In the Western Conference, we recently learned that Mavs star Dirk Nowitzki, one of my favorites. I love D-Wade, too, but Dirk is the man. He's going to come back season number 21.
Wow.
Now, wow, that's a lot. And he doesn't look like, usually like you get to at that stage, you look like you're just decrepit.
Yeah.
Like I remember Ewing at the end, he looked like he was finished. Dirk still looks like he's, kind of hanging in there a little bit. Wade has averaged 22.5 a game over his career. It's a good number. 3 titles, finals MVP, 12 All-Star appearances. Mm-hmm. Where Dirk is pumped in 21.5 per game, but keep in mind the 6 more years has brought that average down.
Yes.
Just a point of reference.
No, I'm not even looking at the average.
Okay. With 1 NBA title and a finals MVP and 13 All-Star appearances and a league MVP as well. That was back in 07, you might recall. In or out, in their primes, good question and a tough one. Dirk was a better all-around player than Wade.
I'm going to say out of bounds. I think Dwayne Wade was an icon. They're both icons of their organizations. Obviously.
Yep.
But Dwayne Wade, won championships with Shaq. He won a couple with LeBron and the three of those guys down there. So he was amazing. But interestingly, as good as Dirk was as a 3-point shooter, and he changed the nature of the game, Dwayne Wade was also a guard who was willing to play in the post.
Yeah.
He scored a lot of his. It's interesting because it's a contradiction of their sizes. But I like Dwayne Wade better as an all around player.
It is a tough one for me.
It is a tough one.
You know, I don't like to be just so black and white and lean on numbers. And I'm not. That's part of the process here. But efficiency is a big key for me here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, free throws, okay, whatever. But, I mean, Dirk was basically 90%. Dwayne Wade was about 75, 76%. D-Wade was sub 30%. And this is an important factor for me in the NBA now. Sub 30% from downtown.
Yeah, but that was before. Dwayne Wade was winning championships before the three-point shot was it is now.
I know. But
interesting fact, by the way. Dwayne Wade beat the Mavericks, and then the Mavericks beat Dwayne Wade.
No, I know.
For the championships. But
I'm going to flip this and say Dirk's supporting cast was certainly inferior to that of D-Wade's. D-Wade had Shaq.
True.
And D-Wade had LeBron James.
True.
Dirk Nowitzki did not.
True.
But he had guys like Michael Finley, who was good but not great.
But
he also had
to play with a guy like Shaq.
Well, he made it easier because Shaq's getting double-teamed. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Dwayne Wade. My answer is inbounds. He was better on the backboard just because he's taller. I'm not saying he was elite, not Moses Malone or Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, this is an apple and like pine, like
it really is. A kiwi and a cherry. It's not even it's a fruit, but it's opposite
even different.
End of the spectrum
it's
here.
It's more like, you know, a sandwich and a ice
donut.
Cube. Seriously.
Something totally different. Inbounds. Man, it's close. It's really close. Let's say Dirk by a tick. Dirk was awesome.
You don't like our analogy?
You sell Dirk short. You do.
I love Dirk.
Nah, but I know you love him. You always say that, but you always sell him a little short when it's time to really give the ultimate props. I think Dirk was a little bit better.
Okay. Are you in or are you
out? But certainly debatable.
Yes.
No doubt debatable. No doubt. And D-Wade's the man as well. All right, many predicted the Red Sox, the Indians, and the Astros would either win or at least seriously contend for a divisional title. Right now, all three currently lead their respective divisions. No surprise there. However, in the NL, things are a little topsy-turvy. The division leaders, well, a little bit more surprising. Did the Mets just win? I know they went to it was tied late with the Cards. It was 3-3. I don't know if they won that game. The Mets are doing very well in the NL East here. They won?
No, still tied.
Still going on.
Bottom
okay.
of the 11th.
There you go. The Brewers looking good in the Central,
yep.
And the D-backs are ahead in the West.
Yeah,
so in or out, none of these three teams will win their division.
God, it's so early. I'm saying out of bounds because it's only 24, 25 games in right now, 26 for some team. This is out of bounds for me because I look at a team like the Diamondbacks, and are they plus 33 in their scoring differential? But the Rockies have been so good, and they have such much better pitching. The Mets, I'm going to say out of bounds because it's just too early for me to determine right now. I'm saying out of bounds.
Yeah, I like the Mets here. I do. I don't think it's a mirage. I think the Mets are really good.
Yeah.
I think the Mets have a nice energy, a nice look, a nice crispness to which they play.
As long as they stay healthy.
As long as they stay healthy. No, I mean, the other night, Jay Bruce, you know, home run over the fence, dead center, and he hasn't even really done a whole lot this year. Cespedes has a lot of home runs, but he's hitting two, whatever. He's striking out a lot. I mean, they haven't really even gotten going.
You're right.
But their pitching is good. Their rotation is money. I think the Mets are solid. The NL Central, listen, I like the Brewers. I picked the Brewers to win a wild card coming in. I always like the Brewers. Shaw's a very underrated third baseman.
Mm-hmm.
They can. I'd like to see him get one more pitcher, and I'd feel great about that. They're better than the Pirates.
That's what makes the question so hard. We're not.
Well, the Cubs, the question with the Central, do you think the Cubs get going? And the answer has to be yes at some point, right?
And here's the other thing. We're not even at the deadline. We haven't even.
Not even close. Not even the Kentucky Derby
moves
yet.
Moves are
deadline.
Going to happen.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Teams
are going to get better. I can't evaluate.
I'm going to say out of bounds that one of these teams will win their division. Quite possibly the Mets. It could be all three. The Dodgers aren't great this year either.
No, you're right.
There you go.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, there you go. There you go. 2 hours in the can. You ready for a little mockage?
I am.
Let's go. Top 10 picks. The Tiki and Tierney most useless mock draft, which will be totally wrong next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.